Okay, let's get into today's daf, Shabbos daf vav. Shabbos daf vav, and we are on Hey Amid Beis. We're talking about the makar. We got into the, we know 10 tfachim is an important shear, a wall. We mentioned elsewhere, halacha bo shebi Sinai, the height of a wall, shear and mechitzin, chatzitzin, mechitzin. They're all halacha bo shebi Sinai, 10 tfachim. But here, yesterday's daf, we're trying to find a makar. How do we know higher than 10 tfachim in Rishus HaRabim could be a different Rishus? Could be a different Rishus, and you could have a new Rishus. You could have a Rishus HaYachad on top of Rishus HaRabim. Let's say you have a big chest, a big box that's 10 tfachim high and 4 tfachim wide, surface area on top. That could be a Rishus Bifnei Atzma. That could be a Rishus HaYachad on top. How do you know that? So we had two Makaros, either from the Aron, different than the makar given in the Bavli in the first parak of Sukkah. There, it's just more based on a svara that we know how high the Aron is, and obviously the Shechina didn't go lower because Hashemayim Shemayim Lashem Va'aretz Asal V'nei Adam. Here is based on Gzeira Shava. Here is based on Gzeira Shava that it talks about Dibur by Har Sinai and Dibur by the Aron. So just like by Har Sinai, Hashem was in a different Rishus, even though it says Hashem came down to connect us and give us the Torah, but just like there was a Rishus, so too here was a Rishus. But then we said, oh, that's only 9. How do you know 10? That the Aron was 10, so that you know from the Kaporis. The Kaporis was 1 tefach thick, 1 tefach high, and therefore we know that add that to the 9, and that's 9 plus 1 equals 10. So then we said, okay, maybe it's based on Pnei also. How do you know that Kaporis was one tefach thick? Maybe it was just the smallest one, or maybe from the word Pnei. But then the Gemara says, this all works well and good according to the Manda Amar that says an Amma is 6 tefachim, because then the Aron is 1.5, and that means 9, 6 and 3, plus one more. But if you say an Amma is 5 tefachim, so then it's 5 plus 2.5, that's 7.5, then even with the kaparas, 1.5, you're still short. Still short, so you need a different makar. Many of the Bali Musar, I didn't get to mention this yesterday, but you look in the Klei Yakar, in Parshas Truma, and other Bali Musar, they talk about how almost all of the Kalim were half measurements. Right? You would think, how many measurements? 3. 2. No, they're all halves. The Aron was 1.5 by 2.5. All halves. Why halves? Just make it wholes. And the answer is, because when it comes to Torah, we should always know that we're not whole. We didn't finish. We didn't complete the job, right? It's easier to have that approach when you learn Bavli than Yerushalmi. Because in Bavli, right, they say you didn't even do Daf Aleph. Right? In Yerushalmi, we did Daf Aleph. So we just have to keep our humility even in Yerushalmi. But I think it naturally comes also because mi yagid that they know Yerushalmi after doing it. But we have a lot more to do again and again. Hafochba vafochba. But that's why all the measurements are halves, because of that attitude. So the Gemara says, at the end of Hey Amabez, oh, we have another makar. Another makar, just according to the Mandarba, that holds the 5 and the 2.5. So learn it from the wagons, the agalos. The wagons were considered a different rishus. Remember, we learned on the first day in the introduction, in the Bavli on Daf Memtes, that's where the makar for, how do you know Mishkan? How do you know that's the source for the Lamates Malachis. So the Gemara has a couple of sources. Remember, we mentioned Tosfos in Arvei Psachim. That's connected to the Malachas we did in Mitzrayim. And there's a Zohar in Parshas Pinchas that it's the third name Malachas were Maisa Bracious. But here is the Makar that we hold of Lahalacha, and that is Mishkan. Whatever they did in the Mishkan, we can't do on Shabbos. And the Brisa says, Heim Zaru Vatem Lo Tizru, Heim Katsru Vatem Lo Tiksru. Heim ha'alu es akrashim mikarka la'agala v'yatem lo tachniso me'rishas harabim l'rishas hayachid. Right, they put the boards from the ground, rishas harabim, to the agala, rishas hayachid. Right, so too, you shouldn't. And the opposite, heim horidu, they took down the boards, es akrashim mi'agala l'karka v'yatem lo tachim rishas hayachid. So it's clear from that braisa that the agalos were rishas hayachid, even though they were sitting in rishas harabim, but that's a separate rishas. So the Gemara says, oh, that's the makar that above, if you have 10 tefachim and 4 tefachim wide, so that could be a Rishus Bifnei Atzma, and even in the middle of Rishus Rabim, to Rishus Hayachim. So that's what the Gemara says here. So let's go back to where we are up to. 4 lines for the bottom. So the Gemara just said, right, one opinion, debates Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Shimon Yotzadek, you will learn it from the Agalos. So the Gemara just says, Rabbi Zeira, 4 lines up, Boi, Minayin L'Agalos Shein Kivos Asara. 1 minute. Where is there such a source? Okay, you have this brisa that says they were rishus harabim. How do you know how tall they were? How do you know how tall they were? How do you know that the algolos were 10 tfachim? Hi, look at the Pnei Moshe. Velo, in the, he says, eino mufurish lonu menakasuv. There's no pasuk. Right, by the Aron, you have the 9 plus the kaporis is 1. But by the algolos, you don't have any source how high they were. Amar of Yosef, yafilu tomar gvoas asaran. Even if you want to say, okay, they were 10 tfachim high, we have some type of misora about that. Velo kain tani, but didn't we also learn, Rabbi Nehemiah, Tzav. Tzav is the pasuk describing the agalos. It says the word Tzav, the pasuk in Bamidbar in Perek Zayin, Kamin Kamrasta Hayu. That means that the wagons were covered. Kamrasta, sometimes read the Karbanaida, Mechusa, Bekar Milamalo, Betocha Yinukavim. So they were covered. And how they put the boards on? Imagine a covered wagon. You stuck it through the side. Stuck it through the side. That's a Rishus HaYachid on top. Right, ilu chur b'rishus harabim gavoa asar v'rachav arba shemo ein asar l'shamish b'tocha rishus harabim rishus harabim l'tocha. If you have next to a rishus harabim, you have in, let's say, a house with a window and you stick stuff into the window, you're not going to be chayav for that. That you're going to be chayav for. That's a rishus hayachid. But that's where you have a roof. And that's where you go through the window. So that, of course, is a rishus hayachid and a rishus b'fnei atzma. But we're trying to find a makar that an open surface on top, let's say again, the case before, you have a big box in Rishus HaRabim that is 10 tefachim high, 4 tefachim wide. So on top of that box, that surface, we want to prove that that's a Rishus HaYachid. What do you mean? It has no walls. It has no walls. That's the chiddush of good asik. The rim of the box, the imaginary walls shoot up on the sides. It's as if it's surrounded by 4 walls. That's what we're trying to figure out. The wagons? That's not a good makar. Because the wagons were covered, and you stuck the boards through the side. So the Gemara says, no. Were they always covered? Like we said on yesterday's daf. Was the Aron always covered? You know, maybe it was when they traveled and they put it down and the Aron like got into place. Ella, Bishash, Mashit, and Sakrashim, Mizulazu, Terutosayu. No. When they were being moshit, it wasn't always covered, right? Sometimes it was uncovered, right? When they were being moshit to crush him, when they were going from one wagon to another wagon, says the Karbana Eda, so then they had to open the covers. They had to open the covers. And that was also included in the description of the Malacha. So that's the Makar for Rishus HaYachid Bithle Atzma. Period. I forgot to mention yesterday, I just remembered, a thought from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, right? Talking about the Aron and the magical elements of the Aron. There is, there's a pasuk in Sefer Yoshua, right? We know usually the Aron, as is described in Sefer by Midbar, the Aron went in the middle when they traveled. They went in the middle, right? Six Shvatim before, 6 after, the Leviim were around, but the Aron went in the middle. Except for, and this is Gemara in Sota also, that, no, 3 times I think the Aron went first. One of them was when they went into Eretz Canaan. When they went into Eretz Yisrael, it says, V'halachtem acharav, follow it. Remember, the Aron went in, the Aron went into the water, and the water split, and then everybody went through, and then the Kohanim took a step back, and then they were on the wrong side, and then the Yardain closed, and then magically the Aron flew with the Kohanim holding it to the other side. So it says, V'halachtem acharav. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, what's the significance of the Aron going first? So he explains that the Aron symbolizes totally supernatural and natural. Because the Aron was made up, as we described yesterday, and in Parshas Terumah, it was made up of physical raw materials. The Aron was made of a gold box and wood and a gold box, and the rim that we discussed yesterday, the Zer, physical raw materials. But it was the most supernatural item in the world. Right? Aron nosei et nosav. It carries those that cover it, right? That's why Uzzah got in trouble, because they thought, oh, it's going to have to catch the Aron because it's going to fall. It carries itself. It doesn't fit into the Kodesh Kodashim. It shouldn't fit in, right? Based on physics with the size and the Kruvim and the poles. It shouldn't fit in mathematically. So everything about it is supernatural. So the Baba Sharabi says, you're going into Eretz Yisrael, follow the Aron. Recognize that the Aron is the essence of Eretz Yisrael. It's physical. You see dirt and grass and trees, and you're going to have to live in an agricultural society, but it's totally supernatural. V'halachtem acharav. Go after the Aron as you go into Eretz Yisrael. That's where the Aron went first. Amazing. Okay, we continue. Says the Gemara, Reb Yaakov bar Acha b'shem Chizkiah. Rabbanan b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Misham shnayim sha'asu milacha achas. Because two did one malacha. What is this talking about? That's why they are putter. We're going back now to the Mishnah. Right? We're commenting on the shnayim peturin line in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, remember the Mishnah we spoke about, the first cases of the Mishnah, where one person did everything, the ani and the balabayas. So if I just stand there and I put something into my hand, I didn't do anything. So if one person does the akira and the hanacha, that's chayef. But if one of them does the akira and one of them does the hanacha, then they're both going to be pater. Aser midrabanan. Aser midrabanan. And the Rabbi Yochanan here says why? Because that's shnayim sha'asa'uhu. That's a big sugya. Two people doing a malacha that one person could have done, that is aser midrabanan. If two people are needed, if it's a big heavy couch, and one person can't carry it out, and two people carry it out to the street, that's chayev daraisa. On, according to Machlokas Tanaim, that's what we hold, chayev daraisa, if eino yachol, v'zeh eino yachol. Right? Because that's normal. Assuming that shnayim shasu is because of shinui, so if it's heavy, that's normal. But here, Rabbi Yochanan says it's based on a pasuk. Bishab Shah, as we'll see, Shnaim Shah, well, here it doesn't quote the pasuk, it's Basosa. Bishab Shnaim Shahasu Malacha Achas. And that is, half. And we mentioned already in the Hakdama that, what about Chasi Shir? What about Chasi Shir? So what do you mean? They should be also Daraisa. We Paskin, Rabbi Yochanan. The same Rabbi Yochanan. Chasi Shir is also in the Torah. So why if I do an Akira, shouldn't that be also in the Torah? So the answer is that that's not Chasi Shir. It's what we would call in Lamdas Chasi Malacha. I didn't do anything. I did half a malacha. I didn't do the whole malacha, but not the requisite amount. I didn't even do the act, right? And therefore, that's not going to be called a malacha at all. If I cook something, but it doesn't, if I cook water on Shabbos, but it doesn't get the yatzoledes bo, that's not a chatzi shir. That's nothing, right? Until it reaches the border of yatzoledes bo by liquids, that's called chatzi malacha. And if you're not chayvi, that's why it's only an iser dirabanan. It's interesting that in the Mishnah, in later on in the seventh parak in Klal Gadol, where it lists off all the lamates malachas, some of them have a shear mentioned. Some of them have a shear mentioned in the Mishnah. Right? Hakosev, even though almost all of them, at least 37 of them, let's say, have a lot of them have a minimum shear. A lot of them. Most of them, I would even say. How much you have to be motzi, how much you have to clean, how much you have to, and yet, like five of them have a shear listed in the Mishnah, right? Ha'osa shtei batinirin, kosev shtei osios, mochik amanas lichtav shtei osios. Why do some of them have a shear and ha'tofer shtei tfiris? Right? If they all have shearim, almost all of them, that's Tosus is kasha, little Tosus. Tzarech lefarish, ayin gimel and jabes. Tzarech lefarish, lama pirish kan, uba oreg, uba botzea, uba tofer, uba kosev, shear tfei mi bishar. Why do some of them have a shear and not others? So a number of technical answers given by the Mefarshim on Mishnah, but the Sfas Emes there in Shabbos says, because those shiurim are definitional to the malacha itself. If I write one letter and not two, that's not chatzi shir, that's chatzi malacha. If I'm oreg one or tofer, one chut, so then that's not going to be a chatzi shir, right? If by the other malachas, there's a minimum shear, and it's not going to say hotzah of a grogeris, because if you carry out less than a grogeris, that's going to be a aser daraisa, chatzi shear. It's not going to be aser mishum Shabbos, but chatzi shear. But by these malachas, the shear is definitional. And this we'll have to see throughout the Masechta. There are different types of definitions to the malachas. Here, the shear is definitional, right? We're going to get to some malachas, the kavana is definitional. The kavana is definitional, right? The Gemara is going to talk about zomer v'netzorach ala la'etzim. Yet if I prune, but I'm only pruning because I want the wood, not because I want to make the tree grow better, but it's going to make it grow better. So the Gemara says chayev shtayim, right? Or chayev achas, right? Your zomer and, or zomer v'tzorach le'etzim. That's the case. The chayev shtayim. If you prune and you want the wood, so you're doing both. Mashma, that if you're pruning, but you don't want the wood, then you're only chayev for, zomer, but not chayev for kotzer. Right? So then the question is, why not? According to Rabbi Yehuda, Malach Shem Yisrael Gufa, if I do this exact act, but if for a different reason than it was done in the Mishkan, I'm chayv anyway. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you should be chayv too, even if you don't want the wood. So Tosfos there said, and some of them in Farshim, because sometimes kavan is definitional to the malacha. Maybe kotzer, by definition, you have to want what you cut. If you don't want what you cut, that's not kotzer. It's not that it is the malacha, but you're doing it for a different purpose. is not kotzer, right? Big machlokas, Rashi Tosfos, cutting your fingernails on Shabbos, right? It's usher, is that the Raisa Drabanan? You don't want the fingernails. You're going to throw it out. In the days of the Mishkan, they wanted what they sheared. When it comes to, you know, your fingernails, you don't want. So is that a malach shenisrich lagufa? It's the same exact, if not, so, again, great stuff, great topics. But again, this is about sometimes the shear is part of the definition. Sometimes the kavan is part of the definition. We continue. Says the Gemara, Rav Shaul Rebbe. Rav was first generation Amora. So he was on the border and he was a Talmud of Rebbe, Budanasi, last generation Tana. So Rav asked Rebbe. We know in the Mishnah's case, if you remember, was if the ani, as we just explained, if you just stand there, you don't do anything, then you're not going to be chayef. What about this case? I'm walking out of my house. Somebody put something on my shoulder. I don't handle it. It's on my shoulder and I walk out. Is that called an akira? When let's say I'm standing, I'm not moving. I put something on my shoulder and I walk out. Is that called like my lifting it up? So that's the question that Rav asked Rebbe. And the Gemara says, "B'machzora tinyana." Interesting lashon. When he chazered for a second time, right? Maybe they had different cycles of shas, right? Rebbe was the one that put it together, right? In the second cycle, Amar le, the second cycle, Rebbe told him, "Chayev, yeah, you're chayev in that case." That's called an akira. She'ena dome la'osa. That's not comparable. Not comparable to a case where, that's the case in the Mishnah, where the ani sticks his hand in, let's say, and the balabais puts it into his hand, and then the ani goes out. So in that case, you're putter. Right? We say you're putter. The ani is only chayev daraisa if he takes it from the balabais' hand. But let's say the ani sticks his hand in, and then the balabais puts it into his hand, and then the ani takes it out, that's putter. So Rebbe has to explain why is that different than here, that if you put it onto the shoulder of the guy, and the guy walks out, he's going to be chayev. What's the difference? So the difference is, are you just pulling your hand out? Because then your hand is like connected to your body, which is already outside. That's not called an akira. But if your whole body walks out, that's going to be an akira. Sava Rebbe, kivan sha'akar es raglav, kimi sha'akar es achefetz. That's different. If you stick your hand in, so then, as we said yesterday, I think, your hand is basar gufo nigrar, right? Your body is outside. So if you didn't do the physical act of picking it up, just pulling your hand back, that's not going to be called an akira. So if somebody puts the balabais, puts it into the ani's hand, that's not going to be called an akira hamachayeves. But if you are inside, stopped, and then somebody puts it on your shoulder, then you walk out, that's going to be called an akira. Right? The language used by the Gemara and the Rishonim in the Bavli is akiras gufo kakiras chayfetz or not. Right? That's the lashon used. But either way, that's the Rebbe's chilek between that case and the case in the Mishnah. Al da'iti de Rebbe. So one second. According to that idea of Rebbe, hayomi b'rishus harabim v'zarak. What about this case? What if you're standing in b'rishus harabim v'zarak v'kidim v'kaltel b'rishus yachin mahu? You're very fast on your feet. You throw something into b'rishus harabim and then you quickly stick your hand into b'rishus yachin and you catch it. We spoke about that in the previous dafim. Is that considered a different b'rishus? So mahu. So maybe there also you should be potter. Right, based on what Rebbe just said. Right, Rebbe just said, if somebody sticks it into your hand, you just move your hand out. So here too, you threw it into the Rosh Hashayachid, then you just stick your hand into Rosh Hashayachid, and you catch it, you should be putter there too. Says the Gemara, one second. What kind of question is that? Of course, you are going to be, chayiv in that case. You know why? Because we're talking about Rebbe. What does Rebbe hold? A different sugya. Follow Rebbe who? The Rebbe avad aver mechitzas kema mashan? Rebbe holds? To use Bavli language, kluta kamisha huncha, if you're in within airspace of walls, it's as if it's sitting on the ground. So one second, if you're sticking your hand into Rosh Hashayachid and Rebbe, it's as if you're catching it, and when you catch it, you're on the ground. So that's not the question. So just modify the question. Flip the place where he's standing and where his hand is. Lo tzurcha dala, remember what that means? We don't need it except for the following. This was Rebbe's question. Haya omeid bershus hayachid v'zarak v'kadim v'kelto bershus harabim mahu. You're in bershus hayachid and you stick your hand and you throw it into the street and you stick your hand out and you catch it in the street. That's the question. Do we say that according to Rebbe, you didn't move your body, So maybe it's not going to be chayiv in that case. So Ashkach Tani, Rebbe Poter, Achash Shetanuach. You're right. Yeah, Rebbe would say in that case you're Poter. It's not an Isidaraisa. Because, again, Yad Baser Gufa Garir, and because your body didn't move, that's not going to be called a new Hanacha. Not going to be called a new Hanacha, just because you stood there and you stuck your hand in. Where somebody puts it on your back and you walk outside, that can be called an Akira and a Hanacha, because your whole body moved and switched for Shuyos. But if just your hand goes to the other Shus, that's not a real Hanacha, unless it's to inside walls. The other way, into Rishus Yachid, because then you get to the other Sugya of Kuluta Kami Shehun Chadamya. It's as if it is sitting in the Rishus. Good. We continue. Amar Rabbi Avun, Rabbi Uben Azai, Rabbi Akiva, Shlosh and Amru Davar Echad. These three great Tanam all held of the same idea, similar idea. And that is, as we just said, well, let's say Rabbi. Rabbi Avad Aver Mechitas Kamamashan. Rabbi says that if you stick your hand in between walls, it's ki'ilu, there was a hanacha there, like it's on the ground. Ben Azai Avad Avir Karmelis Kamamasha. We had this earlier, I think, also. Ben Azai holds that the airspace of a Karmelis is as if it's sitting in the Karmelis. Rabbi Akiva Avad Avir Rishus Arabim Kimamasha. Rabbi Akiva says Avir Rishus Arabim. So each one spoke about Rishus Yachid, one spoke about a Karmelis, one spoke about Rishus Arabim. But all of them had a similar idea that the airspace of something could be as if it's sitting down. Rabbi Akiva was the one that said within walls. Okay, here we go. Says the Braisa, right? This Braisa is also quoted in the Bavli, in Shabbos, and in Erevin. Arba Rishuyos L'Shabbos. There are four Rishuyos when it comes to Shabbos. Maybe this should have been the first statement of the Gemara, but it's here. And the Mishnah started off, you see us, we spoke about the language in the Mishnah. So four Rishuyos L'Shabbos. Rishuyos Ayachad, Rishuyos Arabim, Uva Karmelis. What would you expect next word? I would have expected Makom Ptur, but it doesn't say that. The Rishonim discuss why it doesn't say Malkum Ptur as the fourth one. Some say that's not a fourth Rishus. That's not a Rishus. Right? That's a lack of definition. Lack of definition. Right? It's not a Rishus. And therefore, it's not listed here. What's the fourth one? Umevaos Sheinim Mefulashin. You have an area that is surrounded by three walls, let's say. An alleyway that's surrounded by three walls. That's going to have a different, halacha than others. So these are the four, and the Gemara is going to go through each one. But the Rishonim, this is quoted in Tosas Dav, Shabbos Davav in the Bavli. So that's where all the Rishonim discuss this statement of the Gemara. Tosas there says Davav Amad Aleph Kasha LaRashba. This is the Rashba Bavli at Tosas. Listening Hey Rishuyos to Hakarpef Yosim Beis Asayim Shalhukaf Ladira. We didn't get to that concept yet. A Karpef. If you have a huge area, even if it's surrounded by four walls, but if it was not meant for residential purposes, then you can't carry in it. A karpef, shluka fladira, big issue when it comes to modern Erevin. If you have these big areas that are not like a forest, even if it's surrounded by walls or a big lake surrounded, right, that could ruin an Erev unless you do something, right? So why isn't that counted as another rishus? Tosfos says, that's really a rishus hayachid with a problem with a extra behavior that Chazal said you need to do. Meaning in Lamdis, it's still fourth. That's not an extra Rishus. These four are four Rishuyos. So that's the Ezer Rishus Yachid. What's a Rishus Yachid? Charitz, Shehum, Amok, Asara, Barachav, Arba. A ditch that's 10 Tvachim deep and 4 Tvachim wide. The Geder, Shugavo, Asara, Barachav, Arba. Or a Geder, a fence in air. A Geder, the fence itself. That is 10 tvachim high and 4 tvachim wide. On top of that fence, zuhi rishus yachid gemura. That's rishus yachid gemura. The Pnei Yeshua, the Erem Shabbos Davav, why doesn't it just say the regular case? You have an area that's surrounded. 10 tvachim fence. That's pashut. Right? This is the chiddush. The chiddush is you might have thought you need walls above the ground. That's why the chiddush is in the ditch. You might have thought you need walls surrounding, not on top of a wall. So the top of the fence, it's Ilu's good achis and the good asig, and the walls go up. So each of these are a chiddush, right? And that's why it says these. That's Rishus Yachid. Ezer Rishus Arabim Gemura. What's a Rishus Arabim? All these examples. Is Taratia, a big road. Uplatia, also a big marketplace. Umidbar, and a desert. Umavos Amafulashin, and open mavos that aren't closed on four sides. It's only closed on three sides. That's going to be, that's Durabanan. Meaning on a Torah level, the Moos Mefula, Moos Mefula are open ones. Are open. You have a street that's open up at two sides. So all of those are Rishus HaRabim Gemura. And all of those, what's the halacha? Ein motzin Rishus Yachid Rishus HaRabim, v'lo machrisim Rishus HaRabim Rishus HaYachid. You can't go from one to the other. V'im hotzi ohechnis, if you did, it's a daraisa. Shogi chayev chatas, mezid chayev kares, v'niskal. And that's going to be daraisa. Echad ha-motzi v'echad ha-machnis, echad ha-moshe v'echad ha-zorek. And whether it's taking in, taking out, throwing in, or reaching in, or throwing out, all these cases, Rishus HaRabim and Rishus HaYachid. It's interesting, it says the word Midbar here. Midbar, the desert, is listed as a Rishus HaRabim. If you look in the Bavli, it says Midbar, when is a Midbar Rishus HaRabim? Well, it depends if Bnei Yisrael, because they have a steer in Bryce's, it depends if Bnei Yisrael were there or not. 600,000. So the Pashup Shat, Rashi and Rov Rishonim say, you know what that means? When Bnei Yisrael were there, then it's a Rishus HaRabim, 600,000 people. It's very busy. When they weren't there, a Midbar is empty. There's nobody there. That's at most a Carmelist. That's not a Rishus HaRabim. The Rambam seems to understand the Gemara in the exact opposite way. The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam. Because the Rambam quotes, when is Midbar? Midbar is a Rishus HaRabim. And the Rambam doesn't say only when Bnei Yisrael were there. So the Makan Mishnah says the Rambam left out of Gemara. Right? The Kesef Mishnah says, no, he didn't. He understands the Gemara the other way. The flip. When Bnei Yisrael are there, then it's very tight and very tzafuf, and that's Carmelis. There's that everybody's there, and there are alleyways, and there's, when nobody's there, it's totally open, that's when it's a Rishus HaRabim. Right, so Machlokes, Rishonim, how to understand that Gemara. Okay, other examples. So that was Rishus HaRabim, that was Rishus HaYachid. Next. Yam Ubika. All of these are examples of Carmelis, which again, on a Torah level, there is a Rishus HaYachid. But because it's semi-public, we make it into, give it the status of Rishus HaRabim. And you can't carry within it or from it. Yam, Ubika, a valley. The Istava, and an area where there are benches. This Kopa, and the threshold of a house. The Carmelis. We'll see what that includes. Einan, Lok, Rishus HaRabim, Lok, Rishus HaYachid. That's an in-between Rishus. Ve'inosim, Inosim, Bahem. You can't carry from one area to the other area, right? Within them. Inosim, Inosim, Bahem. Pater, that's an Isser, Durabanan. Fine. Says the Gemara. Again, there's what to talk about. But we have to continue for a moment. Amar of Yosef, Afanatanina Kolon. All of these listed in the Brisa, that they're Carmelios, all of them are also found in Mishnayos. Right? So Rabbi Yosef is telling us it's more fundamental, it's more basic if you could find the source in the Mishnah. All of these that are quoted in this Brisa can be found in a Mishnah too. Yam, where do you see Yam is a Carmelis in a Mishnah? Because the Mishnah says later on in Shabbos, Hazorik B'yam versus Arba Amos Pater. If you throw something four amos in the sea, you're potter. Velosov davar arba amos bayam. And not only four amos, elafilo zorek, bechalayam potter. What if you throw from one side of the ocean to the other side of the ocean? You have a really great arm. You're still going to be only potter. Aser durabanan. Shekalayam nikra karmelis. Because the whole yam is a karmelis. Right? The Rishonim ask, why isn't a karmelis? They ask opposite questions. Look in the Magen Avram. In Shin Mem Hei Yud Gimel, Yud Dalid, why isn't the karmelis a Rishus HaRabim? Right? It's totally open. Why isn't the Carmelis a Rishus HaRabim? Right? So that is the question that is asked. So there are a number of answers given. One of them is that you need foot traffic, not boat traffic. Right? Foot traffic, that's the Magen Avraham in Shin Mem Hei. We don't have time to read it now, but that's the, it's not a Rishus HaRabim. So the opposite question, right? Why isn't it a Rishus HaYachid? Why? Because don't you have, like, when it goes down, it gets very deep. Gets 10 feet deep and 4 tefachim wide, it should be a Rishus HaYachid. So many different, three or four different answers given. If you look in that Magen Avraham says, well, often it has to go down and get 10 tefachim deep in a very quick slope. If it's very gradual, that's not called a wall. That's not called a 10 tefach wall. So without the exact measurements. So it gets down to 10 tefachim deep, much more gradual than you would need for a wall. One. Two, there is a line in the Ritva and Erevin Chafbeis. I have to know exactly. The Mishnah Berurah talks about this Ritva. The Ritva says, Kol Sheroa Atzmo Toch Mechitzos. You gotta realize you're in a Rishus. If you're in the ocean, you look all around, you don't see anything. You don't realize you're in the Rishus. Wow. So is that a requirement? Every Rishus HaYachid, you have to realize you're in a Rishus HaYachid. That's what the Ritva seems to say. So the Ritva, right, you have to, that's number two. Again, the Bir Halacha talks about that. There are others. The Meiri has a line. The ocean is Ki'ilu. I'll read it from the, actually from the Rashba. The Rashba in Avodas HaKodesh, his Sefer on Beitza and others. He says, Naharas vayamim, afal bishish ba'amko asar v'rach barba, einam cholkim v'shus la'atzman. Liosik v'shus la'yachad. Why? Ro'anas hamayim shebahen kekarka ove. She'ein regal rabim v'su yasham. Because there's no foot traffic, you view the water as if it's up until the surface area of the water. It's as if it's, that's the floor. And therefore, it's not its own rishus. Many fascinating different suggestions. We have a whole shiur about the yam. About the yam. Continues. That's all karmelis. Bika. Bika. Where do we see? Bika de tanina. We learned in the Mishnah in Taharos. Mishnah Taharos talks about fields. There are rules for rishus hayachid and rishus harabim make a difference for tuma also. Right? So if like tuma rishus harabim is tar, rishus hayachid is tame. So the Mishnah says in Taharos, habika bimosachama, abika, a valley area in the summer, rishus hayachid l'shabbos, rishus harabim l'tuma. It's a rishus hayachid for Shabbos because it's surrounded, and rishus harabim for tumah because people are walking around. We most like shamim rishus hayachid l'kan l'kan, and rishus in the rainy season rishus hayachid for both. Im omer after rishus hayachid l'kan l'kan lotei tuna kavas kli behema. If it really means rishus hayachid, then you should never have to surround it for hilcha Shabbos. And yet the Mishnah says in Erevin that if you're in a bika on Shabbos, you have to surround it with saddles of animals. V'taninan hakiful kli behema metatlan betocha. But it says Rishus Hayachid there. It must mean Carmelis. Must mean Carmelis. So there you see, a bika is called Carmelis. Istava, an area where you have benches. Ditanin on the Mishnah and Erevin. V'chein k'sharan ha-mefulashin metaltlan tachtayim b'Shabbos. If you have an overpass, and let's say a road goes under it, so Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, you're allowed to carry under there on Shabbos. Why? Because it's ke'ilu, the sides of the overpass shoot down, and it's as if you have four walls. It's if it's surrounding. Pitikra, Yori Vesosim. That's Rabbi Yehuda. But Chachamim say, no. Osrin. No, the Chachamim say Aser, meaning Aser Durabanan. What do you mean? It's open on two sides. But the Mefarshim explain here, but it's not so easy to use, as we said, Nicha Tashmishte. It's underneath, it's in the dark, so it's just like that's not easy to use, and therefore it's a Carmelis. So to the benches area is not easy to use, so it is a Carmelis. Let's try to squeeze in one more. Iskopa, the threshold. Ditaninan, we have this already. The Mishnah says, Amozi ochlam nasan al iskopa. If you put food on the iskopa on your way out, bein shechazev otzien, bein shechazien acher, pater. Shloasa malatim basachas. Right, if you put something on the iskopa and then you go in or out, that's aser derabanan. Why? Because the iskopa is a Carmelis. Ha, the Mishnah just, the Gemara just adds, if you'd have gone straight, your chayiv, because we don't say it's as if it rested, and Banazai Omer, if you had masum alachtu basachas, pater. That was the earlier sugya of Benazai that he says, when you're walking, mahalich ka'omid, right? We don't say that. But that's where the Mishnah says that an iskopa is a Carmelis. So we'll have to stop by the word Carmelis. Hashem, we will continue next time in these four Rishuyos of Shabbos.